sit down, boys. Have I got a treat for you?
Fighting the fight when it comes to technology. We are the knights of the kingdom of geekery. We rise up when it comes to the challenge of discussing all this nerd knowledge. We are the digital soup. We are the digital soup. We bring information with lots of laughter. Tune in now if that's what you're after. Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. With Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Welcome back, guys, to the Digital Soup Podcast, the only podcast that can disappoint their fans more than the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, Vikings fans last night got to watch the Vikings choke once again against Seattle, but we're not a sports show. I'm usually Dave, and I know this is weird. I don't normally start the show, but you know what that means. I'm joined by one person tonight. Adam, how you doing?
Hey, doing good. All right.
we're flying not solo, but as a tag team tonight because Jason last second said, "Oh man, I'm in trouble. I can't go, and our schedules this week just are not going to line up." So, in typical, you know, traditional fashion, I need to ask you, you know, I guess, what you've been up to this week.
So much stuff. well, coming off of Thanksgiving, of course, there's traveling and family stuff for the most part.
Yeah.
Shoveling snow.
How much did you guys get?
Oh, the first round we ended up getting about six inches of snow or so, and then probably another 4 or 5 a couple days later. So
okay,
just kind of a lot of running around, that kind of a thing. So
yeah, we got snow, but it basically came starting Saturday morning, overnight Friday night to Saturday morning, and then it would go, like, it'd take an hour off and then it'd dump snow again. But here where I live, in Hibbing where I live, I bet you we got maybe 6 inches of snow total. Where my parents live, a half hour north of here, my dad said he was plowing, the snow was knee deep up there. So that's, you know, over a foot. Yep. And south of us, down towards Duluth, they got hit like record numbers, like 20 plus inches in that storm. They are still getting plowed out today as we record this on Tuesday.
I mean, it's no Megastorm 91, but.
No. Still pretty brutal.
That is. Hey, did you know today is somebody's anniversary?
No.
It is the anniversary of the PlayStation 1.
Oh, really?
Came out 25 years ago.
Wow.
On December 3rd.
Man.
Can you believe that? That's a long time. It is a quarter of a century. December 3rd, 1994.
So I was PS1. 16 when that came out. Just about 17. So yeah, that's about right. My junior year of high school, I suppose. Yeah.
So we're getting up there.
Yeah.
But I had to mention that for this podcast. That seemed kind of topical. So
yeah. Do you remember, like, did you have a PS1 early on or?
Not early on, but Jason did.
Yeah, he still has it.
I play his all the time.
Yeah. I know. I convinced my parents to get ours. I think it was after I graduated, which would have been like 96, summer of 96, I think, right in there, maybe fall somewhere. Well, it had to have been in the fall, maybe winter 97. So I was a couple years late, but yeah. Oh, so such a good system.
Yep.
Now you mentioned something, not to derail us off the PlayStation, unless you had more there you wanted to.
Nope.
Okay. So I have to ask. Let's talk about Thanksgiving real quickly.
Okay.
So this is, I need your take on this. Don't worry about offending people. Turkey, overrated food or delicious goodness from the gods?
Appropriately rated food, especially when cooked properly.
Yeah? What's the proper cooking of turkey for you?
Well.
Like, are you talking oven roasted?
Yep, oven roasted. Reynolds has these bags that you can buy that you put the turkey inside, so it kind of self-base. If you get the timing just right, you get a delicious tender turkey every time.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I've had one deep-fried turkey, and it was amazing.
Oh,
yeah. It was also injected with all kinds of flavors and stuff like that. And I don't have a setup to do that, but I have to tip my hat to that as the superior tasting turkey.
They are fantastic.
Danger turkey.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say they're fantastic, although the risk of burning your house down is high. Just do it out in the driveway, right?
Do it outside and make sure there's enough space in the pot so that your turkey doesn't displace it outside of the pot.
And do not put a frozen turkey in there. For the love of all that is good, you will burn yourself. All that ice and freezing water hitting that, oh, it's bad. My brother-in-law, you know him, Steve, I won't mention a last name. You went to school with him, your classmate there over in the Iron Range area here.
Sure, sure.
And he's a great cook as it is, but the dude is a wizard with a turkey fryer, deep fryer. He'll do these dinners for us a lot of times around Christmas because we'll have a lot of family up and go over there, or New Year's and things like that. And it is like a coronary waiting to happen, but it is so delicious. Everything from he'll do the turkey. He'll do like walleye and you know, beer battered fish. He'll do homemade onion rings, all this stuff, all on the same fryer. It's so good. And he does like some kind of Cajun garlic butter injection into the turkey. Oh, it's good stuff.
Yes.
See, my dad,
okay, I'm convinced.
Yeah. I don't mind turkey. It's kind of a boring food, you know, boring meat, but at the same time, if it's done well, like when we do ours, this is going to sound really weird, but this is my my mother-in-law's idea, and it works like a charm. We don't even bother with like the Reynolds bags that you can buy. All you do is you get a regular brown paper bag, and then you baste your turkey, you put the butter on, all this stuff, and they do something with an orange in there too, I think. I don't know, but
you put it inside of a brown bag. The bag doesn't burn?
Nope, it doesn't. And it comes out, you pull the bag off because the steam and juices from inside keep it moist.
Sure,
and
same
concept, but it's just like, it's foolproof. Like you can't get a dry turkey that way. You know, I'm sure someone could, but it's really good. But my dad will take, he's got a Traeger grill and smoker combo. Oh, yep. Man, he's done some... smaller turkey breasts. You can't, it's tough to do a full turkey on the smoker because it, you know, if we get a big one to feed a big family, some 20-pound bird, that's a little tricky to make sure it's done in the middle. But he'll a lot of times just get a separate breast, or else he'll cut it, you know, beforehand and just smoke it. And oh, that's good too.
That does sound amazing.
I figured we had to talk about that because whenever Jason's not here, he teases us because we talk about food all the time.
Well, let's talk about Christmas meals.
Yeah, let's do it.
Have I ever told you what my family does for Christmas meals?
I don't think so. Well, you might have mentioned it because I forget now. Maybe not. Hit us with it.
All right. So my dad is from the Philippines. And so what we decided to do, this is years back, is why don't we have like an all like Filipino Asian meal for Christmas time? Like huge spread. And we're talking like Filipino style egg rolls, which are like a smaller crispy egg roll, fried rice, chicken adobo, all this stuff just laid out. It is unbelievably awesome.
I love it, man.
It is good.
You know, here's the thing.
We just have turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't need another turkey.
Well, exactly. And this is a thing. A lot of people look at like turkey and ham as being, those are just holiday foods, you know. Christmas is a lot of times a mix of turkey and ham. Thanksgiving is almost always
a good smoked ham is.
Oh yeah,
some or crock potted ham.
Right, and that's the thing though. It's no longer. I mean, why wait until once a year to get a good ham? You can go to the local grocery store and pick up. Yeah, you can pick up a decent sized, you know, ham any time of the year at a relatively inexpensive price, and you can have a great meal in no time.
Oh yeah.
So I'm all for those ideas where like when it's a holiday get together, like do a big like pizza party, you know, homemade pizzas.
Oh yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Or something, you know, do some grilled steaks or just do something, you know, it's have a good meal. It doesn't have to be the standard, you know, make it your own. That's what's awesome about it.
Correct.
That's awesome. Now,
remember last Christmas, I think Christmas Day or maybe it was Christmas night. We stayed up way too late. And then I was like, you know what? We're going to do burgers right now. It was awesome.
You know, a good burger bar. Heck yeah, yeah, man.
Burger bar, taco bar. One of the best and easiest things you can
do. You know what I've wanted to do for a long time? And I can't convince my wife to do it because she's not a huge meat eater. You know, she likes turkey and chicken, but not a big red meat eater.
Sure.
But to me, this idea sounds like I would love it. You do, like, in the summer when you can have a bonfire and stuff, friends over and just kind of chilling. Mm-hmm. A few beverages, and instead of doing like tacos or, you know, any burgers on the grill, that kind of stuff, just get like 10 different crock pots, have them all going with different like pulled pork and shredded chicken and all different seasonings, you know, a Cajun and a mesquite barbecue or whatever. And just basically have like a big pulled meat sandwich bar.
Potluck.
Yeah. Because we'll do like, you get a pork roast and throw it in the crock pot all day with a little, you get like the Lipton onion soup mix on there. Mm-hmm. Throw that in, a little bit of water, and then just let it simmer all day long. When you get home, it just pulls apart. It'll shred so beautifully.
And the house smells amazing.
Yeah. And that flavor, and then you just throw it on some hard rolls. Oh,
this is the
God.
Soup part of digital soup, guys.
Exactly. Well, we teased it a few weeks back. We were going to change our format, right?
Next up, next week, we're going to be talking soups.
Yeah, all right. That's one food I don't eat a lot of. Soup. Well, I don't mind a good soup now and then, but let me ask you this. Is a soup a meal for you, like just the soup, or do you have to have something with
it? It depends on
it?
The soup. And Seinfeld had this argument before.
Did he did?
Crush
okay.
any crackers into it? But to me, it's a meal if it's something hearty enough, like a chicken noodle soup. It's arguable. I'm going to be hungry pretty soon afterwards. But you do a really good broccoli cheese inside of a bread bowl. You're good.
Here's the thing. My mind, no matter how hearty the soup is or even stew or something like that, I still feel like that's a side dish. I don't know why.
Where's chili stand then in that whole
same arena? Thing? Like chili, I'll eat chili,
chili's
but I always,
for you.
Well, not totally, but chili's a little different, I guess. Yeah, it's not a Coney dog. No, chili's a little different, but like any other soups, you know, chicken noodle, vegetable, broccoli, cheese, all of that.
Yeah, it's soups generally serve something served before the meal. French onion.
Yeah, I think either. Yeah, like an appetizer before a meal, or, you know, you go, how many sandwich shops can you go to where you get soup and a sandwich?
Yep, exactly.
You know, grilled sandwich. Cheese and tomato soup.
If it's all liquid, it's going to absorb too quick.
Yep. Yep, this is true. Hey, this is true.
Just a real quick, if you're into French onion soup and you cut up a bunch of onions and put them in your crock pot and set it for 8 hours, you're going to have the most awesome caramelized onions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Anyway, so Netflix sounds like they are going to be purchasing some theaters, and I already heard about one that they bought so they could play their own movies on it, because so far when they release their movies, they're only available on Netflix.
Right. Well, and this is something I've seen a few articles pop up on this, and some of these quote-unquote experts are kind of feeling a little nervous. Now, when you look at the landscape today, and this will tie in later, but we have a multitude of streaming services now, all offering amazing content. And when the whole Disney and Fox merger took place, when Disney acquired all of that material, obviously Disney Plus came out, which we're not going to talk too much about that right now. I'm going to leave that to you later, but that'll be soon. But a lot of people were looking at Netflix saying, oh man, Netflix is toast. And suddenly Netflix started buying some theaters. So it had people running scared a little bit, thinking, whoa, 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 what's going on here? Is Netflix looking to get into the theater game? This is a switch. And when you think about their history, think about their history, though. They started out as a DVD rental place, right? Then they moved into the streaming service, and then they moved in a big, bad way into the original content streaming, you know, movies, series, all of this stuff. And they've been killing it. They've been doing some really amazing work. Well, the biggest news that came out, and I haven't watched it yet. I need to, but it's like 3.5 hours long. Martin Scorsese just came out. They just dropped that. I believe it hit Netflix now, The Irishman.
I've heard about it.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's on.
I've seen the trailers. It's on Netflix.
Is it on there? Okay. I know it was coming out real recently here, end of November, beginning of December. But this movie, It's all-star cast, you know, brilliant storytelling, everything else. But what Netflix did, and the reason they bought their one theater, and now they bought a second, the main reason they're doing this is because none of Netflix's programming, no matter how good it is, if it doesn't show... if it doesn't show in a theatrical release, it's not eligible for Oscar.
Oh.
Right?
Okay, so they're getting past some technical things. Netflix buying two theaters does not indicate that we're going to start seeing Netflix theaters.
No, but you know what?
They bought the historic Egyptian theater in Hollywood.
Yep.
And they've got New York's Paris Theater.
Yep. Here's the thing, though. I don't think Netflix is going to become the next big movie chain, like an AMC or Regal Cinemas or whatever is out there.
They don't need to be.
But I would love it if Netflix could put theaters all over that are like these smaller, not necessarily art house kind of theaters, but, you know, kind of unique experience theaters. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of like these Netflix original films and series. They would be amazing to see on a big screen. I think it'd be so cool.
If people don't have a Netflix subscription but still want to see the movies, that is a really good option.
I mean, I not that this would ever happen, but where I grew up and went to school in tiny little Cook, Minnesota, there is a little tiny single screen movie theater that has been converted. It's still a movie theater. They show one film at a time. And... Oh, wow. The front of it, instead of being just the regular like box office and concessions, the whole front lobby is actually like this kind of handmade gifts and up north craftsy kind of shop. So, and they have like food there, like, you know, homemade food and desserts and things like that. So they've kind of made it this little boutique thing. I'd love to see little theaters like that be able to, whether they're purchased by Netflix or be able to get like some kind of agreement or rights where they can actually, you know, show Netflix originals in those settings. That'd be amazing.
That would be. There was a small theater where I grew up in one of the towns, Aurora.
Yep.
It was called the Tacora. The Tacora Theater. That was my only movie experience up until they opened that quadplex in Virginia, Minnesota, later on, which had fairly small screens, if I remember right.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Tacora, those little... Yeah, those little single screen theaters. Like I was never in the Tacora, but they always had these enormous screens.
Yeah, it was big, but and the seats, people sit down in front of you couldn't see anymore. Much of an angle to them.
Well, the one where I grew up in Cook there, that's the Comet Theater. They're still around, but they back then they had a decent slope, so you could see all right. But their screen was just massive, but it was set at the back of a giant stage. So the first gigs that I ever played when I was, you know, the high school, not the actual school band, but my first ever rock band when I was like a junior in high school. Our first gig is we worked out a deal and we played, it was one of the Batman films. I can't remember which one, but we worked out a deal where we played for, I think, an hour before the movie. And so there was like a rock show and we were set up on the stage. As soon as we got done, when people bought their ticket to come see us, they also got a ticket to the movie. So it was kind of a double header. So we actually played a gig on the stage of a movie theater and then put all our stuff down. So it was out of the way. And then they started the film. We did a number of those gigs. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Maybe that's why the love of movies is so strong for me. I was junior in high school then, but.
Well, sure. Takes you back.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I do need to say, I meant to mention this last week because the episode actually came out last week. And as you're listening to this, it'll be almost 2 weeks ago now. You'll have to go back two episodes. But a few weeks back, we had our friend of the show, Vincent, on here. Yeah. And he's from the Because We Make podcast over at becausewemake.com. And I was a guest over there with Vincent and his co-host, Ethan. And I did want to take a second to shout them out. Definitely go check out that episode. It was episode number 25. There's some good stuff on there. It came out right before Thanksgiving. So we had some really good conversation about what we're thankful for as creatives and all this stuff. But just in general, if you want to feel motivated definitely check out Because We Make, because these are two guys that, I mean, they're, you know, on Adventures in Creativity, I talk about, you know, more of the photography end and that kind of stuff, and creativity as more of a concept and idea. I mean, a practice too, but these are guys that are like in their shop every day making cool stuff.
Doing awesome things.
Yeah, and I shared you guys the picture, and in any of you that follow me have probably seen it. I just had Vincent made for me. He took my logo from Adventures in Creativity, and he laser engraved it into a slice of agate that's kind of semi-translucent.
Amazing.
It's, yeah, like, it's beautiful.
I want one.
Yeah.
Well, you've also got one of the coolest logos of a podcast I've ever
seen. Well, thank you.
That really helps.
And thanks to Brian Manier for that, because, yeah, he helped me out on that one. But
yeah, thanks, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
I'm
I don't know,
it's
man.
Sarcastic sounding, but I'm being sincere.
Yeah, I'm not joking though. But I do love your logo on Yesterday Sci-Fi. I love that vintage
that little
feel.
Thing?
Yeah, that thing. I love that vintage feel on there. It's just so cool, and the space and everything. I love it. When are you getting your next episode up, man? I'm going to make you publicly accountable here.
I know, man. Well, I'm hoping it's up soon, but yeah, I basically have to get it up tomorrow, or else it's not getting up until the
next
weekend.
Week. Well, see, here's the thing,
which is puts me 3 weeks back. It's been a
while. It happens. Now, look, I did this only because you mentioned as we were in pre-show, you know, man, I need a creative podcast that's gonna, you know, kick me in the butt and make me do something. And I didn't tell you then, but I thought of it and was like, I'll get that to happen. And the way to make that happen is to have someone publicly hold you accountable for it.
Yep, that works.
No, it's good stuff. Well, we wanted to try something
I'm recording a story called Ambition right now.
Ooh, Ambition.
So it's going to be like, interesting. Yep.
Like the Blonde Ambition Tour?
It's exactly.
I mean, Madonna is pretty old, but maybe not quite that old, yeah. Huh?
Yep, it's about
What's
her.
The premise? Come on. Little teaser.
Well, I don't want to say.
You don't want to give a little tease?
A little tease? Well, little it's tease. Okay. It is. So I'll give you the prologue.
Okay.
Which is, to the men of the future, the scientific goals of today were as incomprehensible as the ancient quest for the Holy Grail.
Mmm.
Dun dun dun.
Now, listeners.
51.
Ooh. I tell you this all the time, and I love the show, and I know our friend Mac. Gave you a nice shout out on Shutter Time as well. He's absolutely in love with Yesterday Sci-Fi. He loves it, and I'm with him. I agree. The show is fantastic. You do such a good job with it. And listeners, you just heard the prologue. I mean, if you're a geek and you're into sci-fi, why are you not also hitting subscribe and listening to Adam tell you some
amazing
stories?
Shut off this show right now.
Yeah, Adam's getting embarrassed. I can feel the redness in his face over the internet.
No, no, no.
But it's true, man.
It's the second best show I've ever done.
And it's the only one you listen to.
Oh. It's fun. I love doing that kind of stuff. I read this way to my kids. You know what I mean? Like I'll put voices on the characters, and I'll use accents. Like the entire Harry Potter series that I read to my oldest daughter, I'm trying to do English accents the entire time.
What's your Harry Potter voice?
Let's see. Hermione. I'm
okay,
wizard.
Then. What's your Hermione voice?
Harry, how dare you do that?
I love it. That is, your kids are lucky, man. Let me tell you, my kids, when I read to them, get
rolls her eyes.
But your kids will
same
love
voice
it.
For every character.
Yeah, and then you're like reading her the menu at the restaurant. Do you want the broiled fish?
It says here that your mac and cheese also comes with French fries.
Yeah, you can bloody choose hell. Two sides.
Are you going to get the applesauce? Or are you going to get the fries?
Oh, slipped
make
into
your
a little.
Stop writing on your napkin and pick your food.
What do they call that? The Cockney British accent? Like
I don't know
the what's the guy? Mary Poppins, Dick
Bert?
Van Dyke.
Yeah,
yeah,
hello, Mary.
Yeah, he puts on that accent.
What,
that, yeah,
it's way too much.
Yeah. I love it. Well, one thing, you know, aside from plugging our own shows here and having fun with that, the one thing we were going to do that Jason had asked us to do and we've been talking about some stuff, is we were looking to change up the format a little bit. And, you know, we were thinking about the way we lay out our show. It's always story, 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 and then the last half of the show is cramming in all of our fun segments, right? So we decided, why not?
The entire thing's fun.
Well, it is to us, but we wondered, you know, maybe listeners felt like, well, some only listen to the stories, some only want to hear the other stuff, whatever it might be. But we thought we've got three really solid segments now. Our recommendation segment, our memory minute, and then, of course, the Geek Off, which today we won't have because we've got a super review instead, and we've got no Jason.
MacGyver's going to have to wait to take on his next
company. Yeah, MacGyver and his Frankenstein partner. Why don't we, though, why don't we jump right in right now and hit up some recommendations?
Digital Soup Recommendations.
I will start. My recommendation this week is the Disney Plus streaming service.
Yes.
So, yep, we're biting the bullet. I actually purchased for the $12.99 a month the Disney Plus with the Hulu and ESPN, which I could not get to work yet.
Did you have
not that to watch that much sports ball?
Did you have to do like a contract? And no contract,
it's not a contract.
Jokes. I knew that was going to come as soon as I said it.
No,
I know I'd seen some.
No, I didn't pay the whole thing up front. It's just a monthly.
Okay.
I didn't see anything. I mean,
that might have been a pre-launch thing where they were saying if you bought like 3 years at once, you got some special pricing. But I can't remember. But a lot of people did it. Yeah, no, I know a lot of people did, but it might have just been a launch thing because I know they have their monthly. Okay. That's a heck of a good bundle, though.
It's not bad. I decided, you know, for about the same price that you pay for Netflix, you can get these services. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what really sealed the deal for me, I wanted to see The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and, I still have
but
to
I also,
watch.
I've got two kids that still are into Disney movies and two girls. They have everything. All the Pixar movies, all the Disney movies, you know, even the old cartoons. But the ones from our youth, Darkwing Duck,
you know,
Tailspin, those kind of like after school stuff are all in there.
Yeah.
Plus, they own a lot of other properties. They have 30 seasons of The Simpsons on there.
Right.
And they've got a lot of stuff and all the Star Wars movies and all the Marvel movies. And they also have quite a selection of 4K ones for free that are in there that have been converted. And they look a little weird because they're just so pristine. And I've got a 4K 65-inch TV. So watching it, I'm like, huh.
So that's what
that's
this is all
cool.
about.
But they also allow you to stream up to 4 devices simultaneously. So every single person in my family could log in and watch, whereas Netflix had 2.
Right. And that's what I was going to say, because I thought I remembered seeing somewhere when Disney Plus first launched, like their whole idea behind it is like, look, sign up for this service. You're getting 4 logins. You know, if you don't have kids or, you know, 4 people in your house, give it to your friends. We just want people watching. Like they were upfront. They knew it was going to happen anyways. So they kind of just got behind it, which is smart of them as a company, because you ain't going to stop that anyways, you know, but this
service know they officially came out and said that.
Yeah. I had seen, I either read it or was listening on a podcast where they were reading a statement from Disney Plus about this or from Disney about it.
Oh, okay.
And this was probably close to a month ago now, I bet. Sure. But yeah, they're pretty open about it. So that's a pretty cool thing. I haven't done it yet. Time has been just crunched and we've had some kind of rough times here in the last week with family stuff, but I haven't done it. I know the Mandalorian's one I just really, really need to see, but you know, you said something like all those old classic shows when you mentioned like Darkwing Duck and all that. And I thought, you know, for a geeky show like us, how fun would it be if, you know, you know, when we did our Stranger Things review, season 3, what if we were doing like, you know, just kind of reviewing all these old classics, you know, like, we watched
Darkwing Duck season 2, episode 4.
Yeah. Today.
Launchpad McQuack really screws up this year.
Yeah. Just something off the wall. It'd be a blast. Like, what'd you watch this week?
That's funny.
But yeah, that's cool. I definitely, it's something I'm looking very hard at. And I think I'm kind of waiting too, because Mandalorian is one that right now I want to see. I'm hearing so many good things about it.
Well, they've only got 4 episodes out, but it is pretty great.
Right. But that's the thing.
I wouldn't do a streaming service just for one thing, but that was kind of the tipping point.
Right. And there's a lot of stuff. I mean, the Star Wars stuff and, you know, of course, with the new movie coming in less than a month now. But not only that, but all the Marvel stuff. And Marvel has a couple really good looking series coming as well, like the What If and WandaVision and Captain America, Winter Soldier and Falcon and some really good looking stuff. And I kind of feel like I might just hang tight a little bit and let some of those things build up. So when I get it, I can just kind of binge a few things, you know.
Sure.
But we'll see. That's a solid recommendation, though.
Yeah, it's
have
pretty cool.
Mine feels kind of weak.
Hmm. Well, the last thing I'll mention before we switch over to yours, they have the apps for Roku, the Fire, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Plus, they have you know, the actual apps for Android, iOS, the whole thing. It streams. It's almost identical to Netflix. Even their interface on my TV is almost identical to Netflix.
So really?
It's a pretty easy experience to get into.
That's
as opposed
awesome.
To Hulu, which has got the crappy interface.
Is it the Hulu? You get the Hulu with commercials with that package, though, right?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
So you got to deal with that still. But that's still not bad. They're, you know, from what I understand, Disney is going to move a lot of their more... I mean, they don't do anything like heavy R-rated or nothing, but... Even their superhero XXX stuff that's going to be, Triple X, Vin Diesel. No, they're no, but they're more adult type of series. Like, say, The Punisher when that was on Netflix, you know, or Daredevil. Yep. Those type of shows, sounds like they're going to launch, you know, there's going to be some more of those, but they're going to put them on Hulu, which will handle a lot of their more, or maybe a little more of their adult type of, you know, content that it's not mixed
in. A lot of Hulu, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think they own 60% or more, or maybe more than that. I can't remember because there was that merger that quietly happened with all the Fox stuff too. But
yeah.
Hmm. Well, you'll have to keep us updated on especially what I want to hear is I don't want to hear spoilers on The Mandalorian, but I want to hear about like what cool old stuff from like our childhoods and in our youth that you've been going back to and checking out and having a blast with. And like what holds up and what doesn't.
I'll let you know. I don't know how much I'll get to, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, it's not like you have to do it all this week. I'm just talking, you know, in the coming weeks and months, keep us posted, man.
Roger that. Okay, so, what do you got?
Well, if you remember last week, you guys were recommending podcasts, so I changed mine because I said, well, I've got an artist on Instagram and I felt like I should probably just stick with the podcast theme you guys had last week. So I'm going to recommend this artist on Instagram. His name is Joel Pilcher. You can find it at instagram.com/Joel Pilch, JOELPILCH. Now this guy, his tools of the trade, he's an artist and he works both in digital formats and with, you know, standard charcoal and canvas and those kinds of things. And he does wildlife portraits basically and scenes. I mean, how do I explain? It's like hyper realistic.
Yeah, it is.
His work is beautiful, but the one thing, I mean, not only is his work beautiful, you can buy it and it's really not as expensive as I would have imagined. I mean, he just got done with a sale for Black Friday where you can get a lot of these pieces for like $20.
I'm going to have to get an Instagram account just so I can see people's pictures.
It's beautiful. But the cool thing he does is with a lot of his art pieces, especially the actual charcoal and paper and that stuff he's doing, he sets up and does time lapses of them. So you can see like this, you know, super fast time lapse of him creating these amazing pieces of art. And it's fascinating. I mean, obviously it takes hours and hours for this to happen. But in the time lapse, in 30 seconds, you see this thing going from a rough sketch into this beautiful masterpiece.
Oh, awesome.
So it's absolutely one I recommend checking out. Even if you're, you know, not huge into wildlife art or things like that, his skill is amazing.
Oh, yeah. You can tell just he's got it.
Absolutely. So definitely one to check out there. Not necessarily a super geeky one, more a creative one, but... he does a lot of digital illustration as well, so he's doing some cool things with tech that's pretty wild.
Wild stuff. Wild tech.
Yeah. So Jason's got a story in here next that we were going to jump into this. Since Jason isn't here, obviously he doesn't have a recommendation. He's got a story in here that's just titled, and I didn't know what the heck this was. It just says, Giant Waffle Streams a Record. And I thought, okay, what are we doing? So apparently this is a very popular game streamer on Twitch. Are you familiar with Giant Waffle?
No, just regular waffles.
Yeah, and some chicken. Apparently this guy, his name is Andrew Giant Waffle Bodine, or Bodine, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. But apparently last month, he basically was in the middle of an attempt to set a new world record by streaming himself playing video games for 570 hours, and he reached that mark. Over 30 days, he completed a 19-hour stream every single day, so a total of a 572-hour broadcast. That is insane.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a world record, but you know it's going to be broken.
Yeah. It probably has been, but it's called Guinness.
Well, and he apparently broke previous streaming records of 569 hours by someone named Jay Biggs. It's Armand had 566, Edison Park had 541, and another person at 506. Apparently he played during this, Red Dead Redemption 2, Luigi's Mansion 3, Escape from Tarkov, Rocket League, Factorio, Rainbow Six Siege, and he also blew through the entirety of Death Stranding, which that game looks wild. I do want to check that out.
I don't think I've even seen that one.
That's the one with what's his name from Walking Dead, Norman Reedus.
Oh, okay.
It's a brand new game that just came out, but I think it's a PS4 exclusive, if I remember right. You know,
people love watching other people play games nowadays.
Yeah, it's weird.
Back in the day, you'd watch your friends play games. You were waiting for your turn.
Just itching, yeah. You know, here,
Jason should do a streaming channel of him playing retro games.
He should.
That'd be awesome.
No, I'd love it, man. You know, and it's weird because my internet connection sucks so bad. Mm-hmm. But I actually, if my internet was better, I probably would do, at least not a ton, but I'd probably do some streaming of games just because I think it's kind of fun, and I've watched quite a bit of Twitch and Mixer just because I'm looking at buying a game or something.
I'm on Mixer.
Huh?
I'm on Mixer.
Are you?
I streamed one thing one time. I was playing PUBG.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, I'll just start a stream. And I ended up killing a bunch of people in PUBG, and I was like, oh, that was fun. But I'm not talking or anything. And it's kind of boring. But Xbox and Microsoft make it real easy with Mixer. It's like,
hey,
where's your webcam? Here, now you're streaming.
You're right.
But a lot of these streamers have all these graphics they put up there, and they've got a separate screen hooked up, and they're talking to everybody, and they're really good. No one would watch me play because I suck.
Well, you don't know that.
So what's the fun of that? Maybe if I had a personality, I'd be like, hey, everybody, check it out.
Smash that subscribe button.
Yeah. What's up, everybody?
Yeah, that's right. You
got it.
Let's
talk about Memory Minute.
Oh, yeah. It's time for Memory Minute.
So, Dave, last week you had mentioned, let's talk about our top three DC comic book heroes and why.
Mm-hmm.
And being me, I just put mine in there.
Well, now I know why Jason skipped this show.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't prepared.
He wasn't. So you want to go first with yours?
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm going to start last to first, so I don't have an order here. But Green Lantern, which I see there's a couple on here that are on yours as well. So Green Lantern, I was never a big comic book reader.
Sure.
Just because I never got a hold of them. I didn't have them. But
right.
As far as which heroes I really liked, Green Lantern I think is awesome because the guy, you can make... Like his power to me is fantastic. Like,
right,
you got this ring, and whatever is in your mind, you can basically make out of this weird space stuff. And of course, you can fly through space, and you're guardianing the galaxy. You're a guardian of the galaxy-ish, kind of.
Yep. Well, that's with Green Lantern. That's what always got me there. And I'm with you. He's on my list too. And the reason I enjoy him so much is because it's literally the equivalent of when you were a kid and you're making up stories with your friends and you're playing, pretending you're superheroes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh yeah, now I've got this power. And oh, I can do this thing now.
You are nailing it. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And he's like the imagination is the limit with that character.
So my next one is also on your list, Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I was never a super huge Wonder Woman fan. until, to be honest, it might sound dorky, but this last movie came out. I learned a lot more about the backstory and stuff. Right. And I was like, man, that's really cool. Like they merged somewhat some of this Greek mythology.
Yeah.
And she's got all these, she's very powerful. She's got mm-hmm. all these skills. Yeah, it's just pretty awesome character.
Yeah, that's the thing for me that always got me with Wonder Woman. And like I said, we'll tag team on this one just since she's on my list as well. Is it wasn't your typical story, you know?
No.
This is a person who is not immortal, but has been around forever. Like her race of people is ancient.
Really old, guys.
You know, and she's very old, but doesn't age because of, you know, the island they're from and how they wove the like I say, the mythological side of things in there, but also how they made her, how would you put it? Like very human in a way. I don't know if that makes sense. Like
in a very attractive way. Yes.
Well, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, very like,
she was almost naive.
Yeah. Yeah. Naive, relatable to the average person, you know, yeah, because yeah. She was hidden away on this island for so long. The ways of the world and kind of that cynical view of the world
yeah,
just didn't translate.
She's a yeah. good person at heart.
Right.
Yep. Which so is why my top pick and huge fan ever since a kid, Superman.
Yeah.
Gets a lot of flack because he's basically, oh, this guy's invincible.
So yeah.
Where's the fun and interest? I always thought, okay, what's one of the first things a person ever would want to do if they had superpowers? Flight.
Everything,
you know, that kind of stuff. I don't have to worry about getting hit by bullets or anything. I had the Superman pajamas. I had capes. I had everything. Superman was all about America and laser vision, super strength. He can save anybody he wants. He could fly.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good, good person. And I always enjoyed those stories, which is why it's some of my favorite ones are the ones where actually, you know, Superman dies or
right.
has to take on a really powerful, you know, villain or something that actually matches him. It's like, finally, give him a challenge. The boring stuff is like, oh, he's stopping a bank robber.
Yeah. That's okay. The tough part with Superman. See, for me, Superman, when I was a kid, absolutely. I had that S on my chest. I had the, you know, I'd tie any blanket I could around my, you know, shoulders and pretend to fly around like I was him. Yeah, and as a kid, idea. He was the hero. Yep. As I got older, I got very bored with Superman just because, like you said, he had some great stories a little later on where he was in actual danger and he dies.
It's funny you mention that because I just so happen to have him with me right now. He's been listening in. Soups, what do you want to say to Dave?
You're supposed to believe in me, Effort.
Yeah. I don't care that your mom's name was Martha. No, I still like Superman, but they have to find a way to... the thing is, with any hero, I mean, this is kind of a side tangent personal story, and I shared this on my podcast on Adventures a couple episodes back now. My youngest, he's all kind of in... He loves superheroes, but he's in that phase where he's really having fun drawing and kind of just making up stories. And when he draws, like, he doesn't get the concept of like, okay, I'm going to tell a story with a drawing and then I'm going to do like five panels to show you what happened. No, he's going to talk you through it while he's drawing. And at the end of it, the whole story's happened. It's like one big jumbled up picture, right? And it's a lot of fun. But with Superman, we were talking about it and I said, oh, buddy, what if you created your own superhero? You know, and we were kind of talking about it and I said, what powers would you give him? And he's listing off, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And I said, well, that's fine. Those are good. Why don't you pick one or two? Well, I want him to have all of it. And I said, well, that's fine. But what's his weakness going to be? Well, he doesn't have one. You know, yeah, he doesn't have one. Why would he have a weakness? And, you know, I said, well, Superman has kryptonite. You know, every hero has to have a weakness. And we were kind of talking and explaining, I was explaining to him that what makes a hero interesting is the fact that they're not guaranteed to win. They're going to face adversity. They're going to have to find a way to overcome something.
That is true. However, whether or not I like, you know, what dictates him always being my favorite was, you know, that was somebody
what
that
he stood
wish
for.
He could be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Oh man, doing the right thing all the time. That sounds great. Being able to save people that when help people and they need it. That sounds great. Impervious.
Right.
That's who I wanted to be. So that's
well, in
so what's your top?
Yeah, from that viewpoint, I mean, as a role model, absolutely. You'd be hard pressed to find another hero in the comic world to look up to like that.
I would say Deadpool.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but you know, Superman. It's not to knock him; he's still definitely probably in my top five DC. But for me,
the big gun they have to call in when they're in trouble.
Right. But for me, that's what happened is I got a little older and I moved past the, you know, oh, this is cool, I can do everything phase, and into the more I want to.
This is Superman. You outgrew me.
I did a little
bit. Bastard, you outgrew me.
I you know, just out of the top three. Soups. It's not a big deal. It's not like I put you down below. Wonder Soups. Dog.
Mighty Mouse.
The Wonder Twins didn't take your spot, Soups.
All right, but so who's your number one here?
My number one is going to be obvious. I went the other way. I wanted a character that was flawed. I wanted someone that was going to have to get creative and find a way because he had some major weaknesses. And my favorite is Batman still. It's very cliche, but yeah, he's rich and that's his superpower, but you know, he's brilliant, he can fight, but the stories he's had, I mean, there's never really a Batman story where you feel like, you know, he's not in any danger, because since he's not superpowered, there's always that very real threat that, you know, even as Bruce Wayne, he's walking down the street and someone just kills him, you know, or whatever. And he trips. So, yeah, he trips, gets hit by a car, who knows, but to me, Batman, once I started reading his stories and the way they were written, and yeah, they're darker and a little grittier, but it's not even that. It's just the way that there's so much drama and tension in those stories. I just really fell in love with those stories and that character. So
nice.
Who do you think Jason's top three would have been? Top one. I mean, let's just say that, because
he's probably a Batman fan.
Probably Batman. I could have seen him just for giggles, picking someone like an Aquaman or something.
Cyborg.
Yeah, just to be, you know,
Alfred
contrary.
Pennyworth.
Martha.
Superman's mom or Batman's mom.
Right.
Wait, it's the same mom.
Whoa.
Shazam or something. Blue Beetle. I don't know. You know what we should do?
What should we do? What should we do next week? Or should we just wait and surprise people?
Let's do a surprise for next week.
Okay.
We'll come up with that. But for right now, I'm thinking it might be time for a super review. All right, guys, so we decided last time that we did a review that this next one would be Four Brothers, and we actually used a random movie picker to choose this one. And while Jason did watch it, he's not around today, so we're going to talk about this super review for Four Brothers. This came out in 2005, and it's starring, of course, Mark Wahlberg, Tyrese Gibson, Andre Benjamin, and some other guy. We got 3 stars for the four. We got 3 out of the 4 brothers listed on our show notes.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's because that's all IMDb listed.
Yep. This is directed by John Singleton, written by David Elliott and Paul Lovett. And the synopsis is that when their adopted mother is gunned down in a store robbery, the four brothers investigated the murder for themselves and look for the killers. But not all is what it seems.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So. Four Brothers, take? Snooze Fest, or...
No, I don't think it was a snooze fest.
No. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was pretty good.
I enjoyed it. There was a few parts when I was like, I don't know, I wish that wasn't there.
The part where he's on the toilet?
No, I thought that was hilarious. So let's I guess, just kind of start with the idea here, the premise. The four brothers are obviously all adopted brothers, and basically... Their mother that was gunned down is known. This was in Detroit, right? Yeah.
Yep,
So she was kind of a lifelong saint, so to speak. She'd take in foster kids and, you know, get them, you know, raise yep. them until they found a new home. Well, these four brothers were kind of the worst of the worst. They were the ones that no one else would take. Yeah, and so she took them in and she decided to raise them herself. Now, they all turned out, you know, they all do different things. One, you know, Mark Wahlberg is a hockey player or was a hockey player, but a lot of trouble with the law. One of them's a rock star. One of them is in the military. And the other guy stayed around home and was trying to be a businessman. And yep. The film opens, and it's a pretty jarring scene. I mean, she's in yeah. this little convenience store giving a talking to this neighborhood kid because he stole a piece of candy. And you kind of get the sense that, wow, this woman takes no BS, but she really genuinely cares about trying to help these kids make something of themselves and teach them. And then a couple of robbers come in, kill the clerk, and kill her as well. And then the brothers start showing up. I mean, it's a pretty jarring
yeah,
you know, visually and story-wise film. Now, this film definitely has some pretty graphic violence in it.
Yep, and they are all back for the funeral.
Yeah,
and you get to start to learn a little bit more about the characters. I kind of like the way they did it. They had a scene around the dinner table where it's Thanksgiving, so they decide even though mom's not there, they're gonna do it anyway. And three out of the four brothers end up seeing like a vision of their mom sitting at the table and talking to them. And
yeah, and that's
you
one
get
of those
a little bit out of that.
That's one of those things that I was torn on. On one hand, I kind of thought it was clever how they're all kind of looking, but then I couldn't help but think as they're each staring at this empty chair where the mom was and they're all
they look psychotic?
Yeah, like what are the other brothers thinking as the person's just in a trance staring at the chair? You know?
No, they're it was all just, doing the same thing.
Yeah, and it was just kind of a little kind of weird, like I understood it as a plot device, but at the same time, it felt a little weird. Like, are we going supernatural with this, or is this just memories? Yeah, so exactly. Well, you know, the fourth brother ends up eventually, spoiler at the end, getting his vision with mom.
Yep.
You remember, you know, and so, yep. But it's after the whole thing, the whole movie ends, yeah. and he ends up sticking around, and they save the day.
And I read that they actually did that on purpose, that, you know, at the dinner table, he had not yet accepted her death while all his brothers did. And it was only at the end that he did.
What do you think it was that he hadn't accepted her death, or that he wasn't going to be at peace enough to basically speak with her until he had avenged her death?
I don't know. Take your pick,
I guess. Yeah, I guess. It's
Mark Wahlberg.
It gets crazy. Well, Jason can drop one of his famous flick facts right here.
Dropping some flick facts.
He gave us a few of these that he wanted us to put in. So the house that most of this film takes place in, the mother's house, which then becomes the brother's house, was filmed in a gritty neighborhood of Hamilton, Ontario, which is an industrial city near Toronto. Apparently, the house nearly burnt down shortly after they wrapped filming of the movie. And jeez. Apparently, this thing takes place mostly in the winter. In fact, all in the winter, I believe. And I guess all of the snow that you see in the movie, including when it was, you know, blizzards and snowstorms, everything else, that's all real, apparently, according to Jason's flick facts. Like, they didn't bring in snow machines, any of that stuff.
Real deal.
Let me ask you this, because I know, you know, when we talk about these movies, we don't necessarily want to go scene by scene. What did you think about kind of the overall plot of this movie? Like, did you see it coming? Was there any twist for you that jumped out? Or was it pretty well, you know, diagrammed ahead of time for you?
No real twist. I mean, at the end, you know, I didn't know how they were going to get the main guy, this Victor Sweet.
Yeah.
He's kind of the leader of this big gang lord leader guy who likes to embarrass people.
And he had basically taken over Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, he was like the mafia boss there, essentially.
True.
Which is kind of wild. Because they all knew him as this punk kid that he was an all right kid, but, you know, they had no idea. They had all been away and didn't know that he had kind of turned into this.
The funny part was like 13 or 14 years later, he shows up in another country, and he's a wizard. So,
what? Who was that?
Yeah, he was in Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's right. That was him.
It's the Wi-Fi password.
You know, here's the one thing. Chiwetel, this is kind of a
Geo4. I don't know.
Huh?
The guy's name is, I don't know how to pronounce it. Chiwetel.
Okay.
Never mind. Go on.
Yeah. Well, here's this. Andre Benjamin. You may also know him as Andre 3000.
Yep.
From Outkast. Was it just me, or did you find it hilarious in the beginning of the film when him and his brother, who's played by Tyrese Gibson, they start wrestling around in the living room before Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah,
and Marky Mark is on the, you know, he's on the couch like, oh, go get him, Jerry. Go get him, Jerry. And he goes after Tyrese, and he's just kind of scrawny, and he ends up whooping Tyrese, who's just ripped. I mean, he's jacked in this movie. But then as Tyrese is laying on the floor and he's kind of tapping out, calling it quits, did you find it funny that he kept going, all right, all right, all right?
No.
Just like the song, you know, from the famous Outkast song. He said it like five times, like, all right, all right, all right, all right, to end the fight. I thought that was just a hilarious touch. It had to be done on purpose. I mean, that had to have been written in there.
Yeah, oh, for sure. A little Easter egg. So what ends up happening is these brothers, they know something funky happened. Why would somebody kill their mom? And they just want revenge. But then they find out there's more to this. What the heck is going on? There's a few twists and turns here, especially with Jerry, that brother, who the businessman.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of seems like he's in cahoots with some of the bad guys. You know, they catch him giving money to this one guy, and they beat him a little bit because these guys don't take any crap from anybody.
No.
And apparently they can go around waving guns and shoot stuff and nobody cares. That was one of the things, my pet peeves about it. It's like, oh, my name's Bobby Mercer. He's flashing a gun at a basketball game. Nobody talks to him.
Yeah. I'm just looking for this guy.
They killed my mom. I'm Bobby Mercer. Anyway, you know, ultimately they go after the bad guy. They come up with a way to do it, and the movie ends. There's a pretty good fight out on the ice. Mark Wahlberg looks totally bad A when he comes walking, strolling up out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's what
you go hide 400 yards out on the lake.
Yeah, it was more than that, because I laughed so hard at that scene, because the whole ending is happening. They set up the crooked cop, and that was a pretty brilliant move, I thought, which we can talk about in a minute. But they show Andre's character, Jerry, he's out in this
paying
SUV,
the bad guys.
And they are driving for what looks like an hour. Are we there yet? What do we? I mean, this SUV is just out on the ice, and there is nothing, and they're at like top speed, 60 miles an hour, just going, and then everything goes down, and all of a sudden, shimmering like as if out of the desert of a winter storm, here comes good old, you know, Marky Mark, whatever. I can't remember his character's name. Bobby.
Well, you know what would have been really funny? They use their mom's insurance money to pay this ganglord's staff off to take him out. And, you know, he's like, who's going to be the first one to fight me? And all of a sudden they all make way, and here comes Mark Wahlberg in the distance. It would have been awesome if he showed up and he was like, sorry, my car broke down.
Yeah, I would have been here sooner, but...
But Bumblebee. It's too cold out here.
Bumblebee got attacked and I couldn't get here. Now, I just thought that was weird. Like, they had him walk that way. Yeah. Like, when did he start walking?
It's artistic. Yeah, it's like, okay, I've been walking for 4 hours to get here, guys.
Yeah, I mean, no wonder when that fight started, he got his butt kicked initially, because he's been walking through the snow in the cold out on the ice for like an hour just to get there. What do you think about that? You know, obviously we see a crooked cop. Who was what was that cop? That actor from
Terrence Howard?
Is that not him? He gets killed. Oh, he wasn't crooked.
He was crooked cop.
Yeah, the crooked cop. I
he's played by Josh Charles.
I know I've seen him in stuff.
In a lot of different movies. Let's see here.
Well, while you're looking that up, basically he's in the pocket of Victor Sweet, and so he's basically the one that coordinated the hit on this woman, all because of this whole plot line through the movie. And the Mercer brothers find out about it. Well, they set him up. Tyrese goes there and convinces him to essentially confess the whole thing, you know, as a setup. And all the police are coming and everything else. And, you know, then Tyrese convinces him that, I'll, you know, because he says, they won't believe you. You're just a hoodlum and I'm a police officer. Who do you think they're going to believe? And he goes, well, you know, he makes it look like he's wearing a wire. The van outside, they've heard everything, and the cop snaps and they go outside. And that was the only twist where when it happened, I didn't see coming. I was like, oh, they tapped him. You know, they got police involved. And then when you find out he holds him hostage.
He's the one doing the hostage?
Yeah. What are you doing? And he's got a gun to the Tyrese's head and stuff. Like, I'm not taking him. I know you're hitting him. And then he just gets gunned down by his own officers because he starts shooting at him. And I thought that was a pretty smart move.
Yeah, it was some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
He was in a lot of TV shows, Law & Order SVU for one episode, but 107 episodes of The Good Wife.
Oh.
Wet Hot American Summer, First Day at Camp, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
American Drunk Summer, History. I know him from that. Yep.
The guy's actually, I think he's got some comedic chops.
Yep. Yeah, in Wet Hot American Summer, which is, I mean, it's funny, but it's stupid humor. He plays like the rich kid at the camp across the lake kind of thing. Okay. And so he's like their big rival. That's where I knew him from.
Gotcha. I think Sofia Vergara did a really good job as being the crazy girlfriend.
What do they call her all the time?
She's always screaming. They're trying to case a house and she's just honking the horn. Hey!
Yeah. They're inside. Break the window on the, you know, a lawyer's house or something. Yeah. Judge's house. What do they call her? Mark Wahlberg's character, Bobby, keeps calling her something like La Vida Loca or something like that.
I think he called her La Vida Loca at one point.
She's crazy. Well, yeah, you know?
His character is constantly making, you know, racial comments and stuff.
Oh, I know.
You know, the chemistry in the movie between the guys, I think, was pretty good.
Yeah. They felt like brothers. You got that sense you know, these guys, yes, they're adopted. They care about each other, but they know each other well. And even though they haven't seen each other in a long time, like, they've got each other's backs no matter what. They're family. The one part, when you talk about Sofia Vergara, I forgot about that she was in here. And I thought that character was hilarious. But when the movie opens and Tyrese is there, they're all, you know, having their Thanksgiving dinner and stuff. He's like, ah, man, I got to get outside. I need some fresh air. And they're just busting his chops. Like, you're going to see that girl. Da, 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 da. She's got a new guy now. She's not with you anymore. And he's like, no, man, I am not going to talk to her. The very next scene is him, him and her driving away or running away, getting shot at because he stole her. That was brilliant.
And then at the very end of the movie, the three brothers are finally, after all this, taken into police custody.
Yeah.
And they're beating them. And each one of them is like, where were you that night? I was doing your wife.
Yeah.
I mean, each one of them said the same thing.
Well, and they didn't even plan it because afterward, they're like, you know, they're kind of talking to each other afterwards and like, you talked, you told them something, didn't you? And Bobby's like, I did. I talked, you know, and they're like, oh, what'd you say? And he's like, I told him I was doing his wife. And then the other brothers start laughing. He's like, I did too. I told him that too. So that, like, they just knew each other so well. It's like that they all had the same story without even planning it.
I did get a good laugh during the police and you know, beatings and interrogations when the guy had a little bag. He's like, we found your hair on the body.
Yeah.
Just laughing his head off.
Like, and he's just got like blood all over in his mouth as he's getting beaten. He's just laughing.
Oh,
yeah. It was kind of such a, like, I thought maybe I had seen this movie, but I was getting it confused with the other one Mark Wahlberg did. Was it called Four Kings with George Clooney?
Yeah, that's a...
Where they do this heist Iraq. Over... Yeah. And so I hadn't seen this one, but I did remember seeing trailers for it because some parts were familiar, but I know I hadn't seen it. So this was fun, and it was kind of like a mix of a mafia movie, action, and like that murder mystery. I mean, just such a fun movie. A lot of good comedy bits, but also some really good, like, tense action scenes that were believable. Yeah, well, mostly. Yeah.
I thought it was well done.
Yeah.
So for me, my score I'm going to give this thing is a 3.5.
I
thought this was above average. You know, not my favorite. I'm not going to go watch it again anytime soon.
Sure.
But it was good.
Right.
It was good, I thought.
Absolutely. Well, and Jason, he also, he gave this movie a 3 out of 5. No shocker there. But he did have one other flick fact for us.
Dropping some flick facts.
So apparently, before I give you my score, Ethan Hawke, Matt Damon, and Ben Affleck all turned down the part of Bobby. The part eventually went to Mark Wahlberg. Apparently, Ethan Hawke loved the script, but could not commit to it because of scheduling conflicts. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck both said no because they found the script to be ultra violent. Now, think
Jason
about this.
Bourne.
Yeah. Think about this for a minute.
And Batman.
Yeah. Batman and Jason Bourne said no to this film because it was too violent. I mean, come on. I don't know. I wonder if they kicked themselves. But I don't think this was a huge like box office success.
No.
I'm guessing
this is, this is along the lines of like Italian Job.
Yep.
You know, that kind of feel and look and feel.
Yeah.
Pacing of the movie to me.
Just
you
fun.
Know, a lot of those early 2000s. Yeah, it was good.
Yep.
All right. So what's your score there, Dave?
I'm going to go with you. I'm debating between a 3.5 and a 4. And the only reason, the only thing that's going to keep it from being a 4 is we talked about the three brothers at Thanksgiving table all seeing their mom and then kind of having those memories and in those moments. I was fine with that. The one at the very end when Bobby finally sees his mom as he's working on the thing and she's like, "You gonna stick around for a while?" And he's out there talking and all this stuff. Like he's flat out talking to her for a couple minutes. Like they exchange lines. And to me, that was like, okay, this wasn't just him, you know, having a moment and remembering something.
That was in his imagination.
Oh, it was, absolutely. But he was still standing there and just staring at the house. That exchange had to take a couple minutes, you know, as long as it took in the film. And it just was kind of like, okay.
Up, "Hey, mister, what are you doing?"
Yeah, it's like, there's Bobby again, just frozen in time, staring off into space with some kind of PTSD or something, you know. It just, that last scene just bugged me a little bit. Like, it was too neat. After everything that happened, it was too much of a, you know, put a bow on it with a happy ending.
I didn't have a problem with it because it's still not a happy ending. That's his mom's gone.
Right.
But he was getting closure, in my opinion. That's what that scene was about.
I got that. I also wondered if it was like, okay, they took down, they basically come in, hadn't been in town forever. Detroit is being run by this, you know, Victor Sweet mob boss. And now these four brothers come in who are now three brothers during the movie. Spoilers, one of them doesn't make it. And they effectively take out the mob boss. So are they basically now running Detroit? That's what I was wondering.
I don't think so because they ran out of money.
Yeah, I think they just kind of wanted out and they wanted revenge and that was good enough for them. But for that, I'm going to give it a 3.5. Definitely enjoyable. The one part I will say, post-credit scene, did you watch any of those?
No.
There's just a few, one for each of the brothers. The one for Bobby is hilarious. He's out playing hockey because he was supposed to have been like in the NHL or something. And he's just busting guys up on the ice and he turns around. You know, fans are cheering all like crazy and he raises his arms and is yelling and they had it faked. So like all of his front teeth are knocked out and bloody and it just like, and then it cuts off him and it goes to the other brothers. And yeah, they show little snippets of their lives kind of before they came back home. But those were kind of fun. Nothing groundbreaking, but kind of fun. That. So yeah, 3.5 for me, 3 for Jason. And you gave it what? 3.5?
3.5. So serve it up. We like this one. It was good.
Absolutely. Now, so do you want to
at randommoviepicker.com.
That's what I was going to say. Will ready? You go there?
Now give me a genre, Dave. We're going to start with a genre. We've got crime. We've got thriller, romance, war, fantasy, comedy, action.
Well, sci-fi. You and I kind of dabbled back in the action with
this one was action.
Lethal Weapon. This one was action. You know, the last kind of fantasy one we've done was Willow, wasn't it?
It's been a while, yeah.
Shoot, do you want to do a fantasy one?
Sure.
I was thinking fantasy or war, one of the two.
Okay. Let's do...
Because I don't think we've really done a war movie.
Do one
movie.
Of each?
So we've got for a war movie, we're going to pick one of these three to go up against a fantasy movie, and then we'll pick a winner for next time. So under war, there is Fury, which is Brad Pitt. There is a film called The Imitation Game, which looks to be Benedict Cumberbatch. And then there is a film called Dracula Untold, which is saying genre is action, drama, fantasy, horror, war. So out of those three, which is the war movie you would pick?
What's that last one?
Dracula Untold.
That's a war movie?
Apparently so. Well, I'm guessing because Vlad the Impaler, that was a big war happening in
That's ancient. The one out of the three I have not seen, but I would see that one.
Okay, so Dracula Untold.
Yep.
Now, for fantasy, same year, 2014, we have The Hobbit, Maleficent, or Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. And this is The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. So is that the second one?
I'm still going to let's do Dracula Untold.
All right, let's do it. Works for me. Dracula All right, folks. Untold.
Dracula Untold will be our next super review. You heard it here first.
Nice.
So I think it's time to put the lid on the soup. So for all things Digital Soup, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com, and there you can find links to all of our social media, anywhere where you can subscribe, and pretty much anywhere where you find podcasts, you can find us. So be sure to like, subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. And Dave, what else do you have here?
All right, so before we forget, Jason wanted to remind us that we needed to do our draw our winner for Patreon, our contest Yes. where we were giving away the Steam key for Call of Duty World War II. Now, he wanted us to draw the winner and announce it. However, what he failed to do was provide us with the names or the access information so we could get that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to throw it over to Jason right now, and he's going to take care of drawing the name and the winner and announcing that there. So stay tuned right now, and you're going to hear who the winner of the Patreon Steam key giveaway for Call of Duty World War II was.
Woohoo, sweet! They're actually letting me do something for the show! Yeah! Alright, so let's go ahead. I'm going to use a random number generator on the internet to pick one of our three Patreon subscribers. Let's go ahead, put 1, 2, and 3 as our Patreon subscribers and hit random now. And it is number 2, and number 2 is John B., a.k.a. The Mailman. Congratulations, John. You have won that Steam key to a great game here. Call of Duty series is always awesome. So here we go. Call of Duty World War II is for you, John. Back to the nerds.
That's right. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you listeners, have an awesome week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, Victor Sickle.
It's the Digital Soup Podcast.